All right, everybody, welcome to a very, very special episode of Sigma Cinema. This week, we'll be going back through all the movies we have done so far this year, and with the context of newer, better, and worse movies that we've done, we'll be able to rescore anything that we feel needs to be adjusted. Or maybe something, sometimes you're a little too harsh, a little caught up in the moment, or sometimes you just sit with the movie and you end up liking it more over time. So, here with me today, as always, Gideon. How's is it hot in Muscatine? I've heard it's been
Dude,
steamy.
it's been like so damp and raining so much. Like I mentioned last time, my basement had flooded because it just rained like crazy. And even it happened like when I was leaving work, and I had to like straight up drive through water at one point, and it was like not quite like halfway up the door, but it was like pretty high up. It was ridiculous. And it thankfully like had stopped raining by the end of the night, but it was just like so much at once. And it's a lot better now, but it's still been like off and on raining a bunch, and just like when you go outside, it's just like insane humidity, like at times, like yeah, or like my neighbor's backyard like looks like a pond at times. It's like holy shit. So it's been pretty wild, but things have been pretty good so far, and it seems to be lessening more and more with the rain. And yeah, other than that, I've watched a couple new movies. I watched that Weapons movie that came out. And I've read a couple more comics. So yeah, I've just been hanging out.
And was Weapons as awesome as everybody says it is?
It is great. It is excellent. I had another horrible theater experience with it. It was like I was in a movie full of people that had never seen like a horror movie in their life, and like everyone was pretty loud and like kind of laughing really loud at times, which there is plenty of good comedy in the movie too, I'll say that, but that kind of dampened it for me. But it was like, yeah, I think it's a really solid, great thriller horror type of movie with interesting premise. And what I really liked is like the trailer gives you like everything you want for like the hook, and then the movie like wastes no time getting like right to, you don't have to wait like 45 minutes to be like okay, like let's get going, like it's just straight away. So it's good. Yeah, I'd recommend it.
Cool, awesome. Well, I've been hearing lots of good things about it, but sometimes you don't know. I mean, sometimes there's a lot of hype about a movie, and then there was a lot of hype around, God, this is a sen unsensitive way to phrase this, but what was the movie earlier this year that had like an all black cast? It was like a horror movie.
Sinners.
Sinners, yeah.
Sinners, right. And everybody said that was the best shit ever. And then like I've read that it's maybe not actually that good, but
Well,
I haven't
I
seen
did
it, so
see
I don't know.
Sinners too. Sinners is also, I would say, very similar way to Weapons, like just very consistent and solid all throughout, very entertaining and clearly very well prepared and planned out and well made. And especially with Sinners, like you get to see some like IMAX ratio shifting stuff like that. Excellent performances and music by the guy who did the music for Oppenheimer. So shit like that. It's like for that kind of thing, I give it a lot of props. But it still might be mileage may vary because I don't think I'm as high on Sinners or Weapons as everybody else. But I do think they're very great, excellent, super solid, consistent films.
And have you been playing anything aside from Fortnite?
So yeah, I sh showed you I got Doom the Dark Ages. Haven't gone back into it yet, but been playing a little bit Astrobot, and Alyssa's actually been playing like a ton of that lately, getting hooked on it. So I've kind of been like helping her on a level here or there, but not too much. Mainly been more into a movie mood, and yeah, just reading some comics.
Okay. Yeah, awesome. Well, I'm good. You're playing Goaty Bot and you're playing Doom the Mid Ages. So
Yeah,
it all works out.
I'm on recovery basically.
And of course, you guys already heard from him, Neil, who I will, since he's pulling up all the information in this episode, I will refer to as Jarvis from now on this episode. So Jarvis, how have you been lately?
Well, speaking of Oppenheimer, I'm actually down in Los Alamos.
Oh shit.
my dad's have had a little bit of a, I don't want to like oversell it, but medical scare. Let's put it that way. And his girlfriend is traveling, so I'm here as a kind of caretaker for a bit. But the like living quarters where they for the Manhattan Project are like literally a five minute walk away from where I am right now.
Yeah, dude. I mean, what else is there? I mean, it's just like the test site, and
you know, it's actually. I don't know what the population is off the top of my head, but it's actually not a terrible little town in its own way.
Okay,
let's see.
That's cool.
13,000. Okay, so it's like half the size of Muscatine, then.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, it's small, but I think it's probably pretty affluent. There's a lot of nice facilities and whatnot. Went to the public library today.
Nice.
Picked up a copy of Ran.
Taking
a page out of Gideon's book.
Nice.
The Criterion Collection copy, and my dad and I'll probably watch that while I'm here.
Nice.
Been rewatching some of The Walking Dead. I like when I say rewatching, you know, I didn't make it all the way to the end. I know there's been some spinoffs since then, but you know, I got a hankering for some zombie stuff, and it's good, but it's also just got so much filler. I think like each season you could like condense to like half and still get like the majority of the interesting stuff, because a lot of it's boring. But but one thing is just that like there's a switch where people will, you know, like, you know, like they're running around with like a handgun and just like, or you know, standing like a mile away and pulling off headshots on zombies, and then like the minute there's like a human adversary, it's like I just watched an episode and it was like 10 minutes of them just like blazing away with AR-15s and AK-47s, and like two people got hit the whole time.
Damn. Wow.
And it's not like they're running and gunning. It's like, just like, man, the guy who, you know, was setting up a sniper shot this whole time really just did not do a great job, I guess. So there are a lot of like internal inconsistencies that are frustrating, but also kind of fun to watch in their own way.
Yeah. What? How deep into it are you now? What season?
Season 3. They're at the prison.
Okay, nice. I think I fell off after season 3, but I liked what I watched, and I read the first compendium.
I remember watching it in college. With Sex Pest Chris Hardwick for The Talking Dead afterwards.
Huh.
And I think I quit after this episode. I don't know what season, but the group was saved by a torrent, like a very fortuitous tornado that sucked up a bunch of zombies. And I was just like, nope, that's it. I'm done.
I didn't really get. The Walking Dead almost like essentially just totally skipped me over, except for the 2012 Telltale adventure game, the point and click adventure game. That thing was awesome, but I also played only like the first season of that. So,
okay,
yeah,
my only exposure.
I have the second season, and I did not make it far into it for whatever reason. Maybe it's worth going back and looking, but.
I did play the second season. I would recommend it. I'd say that.
I'll give it a shot on your recommendation, Gid. The only other real media that I consumed lately that's not like Helldivers was so you guys can see sort of the top of my list. I'm sharing my screen for our viewers of our rankings, and I've got a list of movies that I consider bringing for the podcast. And one of them was a movie called Bottle Shock that I remember seeing in ads for when it came out, like probably like close to two decades ago. It's about a competition that's put on between California winemakers and French winemakers back before like California wine was known for being good.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's got Chris Pine, Alan Rickman, and is it Bill Pullman, who's a Lone Star in Spaceballs?
Yeah, it's Bill Pullman.
Yeah. And I'm not going to bring it because it's not good, or it's super inconsistent. All the stuff with Alan Rickman is great, but that's only like a third of the movie. And the other two thirds of the movie are, Bill Pullman is Chris Pine's dad, and it's like them having family trouble. Chris Pine, like learning his way as a young man in the 70s. And they add, I forget the actress's name. She's an attractive Australian actress. She was in Transformers as one of the NSA consultants, but she's not a real character. And like half the movie is about Chris Pine and his friend fighting over her. And she's not a real person. She's a total invention of the movie. It was just, I was so frustrated because I was like, bring back Alan Rickman. His parts are good. But I want to see more of this and not Chris Pine being horny with a terrible 70s haircut.
What's the name of the movie again?
Bottle Shock.
Okay.
Well, speaking of bad movies, we're going to get a chance here to go back through some previous ones and reassess the scores that, you know, maybe we were in a bad mood that week. Maybe we were in an excessively good mood this week. So I don't know how you guys want to handle this. Do you just want to go through chronologically through all the movies through all the movies we've done so far this year and kind of talk a little bit about it and see if your thoughts have changed? How about Neil, you go through them one at a time, read out what scores we gave it. And if anybody feels like, I was just distracted by looking at our list. When did we do Ishtar?
No, that's one of my that's part of my list of things that we might bring later.
Oh, okay. I was like, God, did I fucking did somebody
got that in the chamber?
Like Men in Black neuralized that from my brain.
No, you suffered horrible brain damage from watching it, Sam, and you just have no memory. Oh,
God, yeah, if it got in a motorcycle crash, I don't remember anything that happened before that. Okay, yeah. So, do you want to start us at the beginning, and we'll just kind of go through and see if we want to reassess anything?
Yeah. First movie of the year was Nosferatu. Sam, you gave it a 4, you didn't give it a 5, and I gave it a 3.
Really, you're gonna stick with that 5, Gideon?
You know, I did actually rewatch it recently, and I gave it a 4 this time. But I think this movie, almost like depending on the day, it could fluctuate between 4 and 5. I still think it's excellent. But maybe there's something on my, I can't put my finger on that. I'm like, it's not quite there on certain days. So, yeah, I'd be comfortable switching mine to a 4.
Good. Good. Let the hate flow through you.
I watched the extended cut because I recently got a cool 4K steelbook. I feel like it added maybe like 5 minutes or so, but it was honestly like hard for me to tell like what they added. I feel like I'll have to watch it a couple more times.
And this wasn't no Aliens director's cut where it's like 45 minutes longer than the base movie.
Yeah. No, I feel like, yeah, it was like 5, maybe 10 minutes longer.
Okay. Yes. Interesting. Okay. Damn. Did I really give the Green Knight a 3? Yeah. You know what? I'll stick by that.
That's fair.
So, we don't have Laura here for some alternating scores, but next up we have the Green Knight. Sam gave it a 3 as stated. Gideon gave it a 4, same as me. And Laura also gave it a 3.
I'm more or less comfortable still giving it a 3. I still feel like I don't know. I feel like if I had watched that like with the bros, I would have had a lot more fun. But
really,
it was just like, it was like so beautiful and mysterious, yeah, and kind of like hard to follow, mm-hmm, that I was just having trouble like staying with it. You know, you can just chalk that up to me having severe coon brain at this point.
I'm just going to compare that to Speed Racer. We're going to skip over another
one. Oh my God.
Just give that a 4. Gideon gave it a 5. Laura gave it a 4, and I gave it a 2, which I stand by.
You know, I kind of want to move Speed Racer up to a 5. that was like the best movie we've watched this year. It was so awesome.
Oh man, you're just so wrong.
I will keep Green Knight at 4 as well. Can be a little boring and confusing, but it's so beautiful, and I love Dev Patel, and he's so beautiful. And the Green Knight is so metal and badass. And it feels like another movie. If I do more homework on it, I will appreciate it more and more as time goes on.
You know what? I'm also going to move Green Knight up to a 4 because of Ralph Ineson.
Yeah, because he is the Green Knight, right?
Yeah, of course. Yep. Yeah, you just reminded me of it.
Right? I think he's Galactus in the new Fantastic Four.
And he's Sid in Final Fantasy 16.
Holy shit.
Mm-hmm. In shitty-ass Final Fantasy 16.
You can put 3 for another round for me as well.
So it's dropping down.
I like it. It's fun, and it's well shot, and I love watching Mads Mikkelsen. But holy shit, if all those people aren't so stupid about the way they go about it. Like, I get it. It's a movie. I get it. I gotta relax, but it's like, Jesus Christ, guys.
I didn't get that movie at all. Like, listen, there's nobody on this earth that smokes a cigarette like Mads Mikkelsen. And there's a lot of that in this movie, so I'm in for that.
I don't understand.
Yeah, of course. But like, the premise is 4 middle-aged men being like, what's going to happen if we all get drunk a lot? And then they all like lose their jobs and it's like, "Oh my God." Like, what did you think was going to happen? I don't know. It's just such a silly, movie. I mean, it was fun. I enjoyed watching it.
I will drop Speed Racer down to a 4 for a couple reasons. It's like a 5 in my heart, but there are some things that are like, it is a lot, and it is like whiplash, and like I get where Neil's coming from. Like, big gripes. I honestly don't give a shit about the monkey and the little brother fucking around. I'm kind of like, cut that, like, get this shit out of here.
Sam's entire score for that movie is just the Freebird scene.
That part is so funny. But no, like, I just love, I mean, it's exactly what Gideon says. Like, in my heart, Speed Racer is a 5, right? My brain knows that it is not, you know, maybe a 5. And it's also really long. So it's just like, it's incredibly bright and gaudy and ugly. And extraordinarily long and loud and stupid, but like, it's just so ballsy to make like a $200 million Speed Racer movie. I can't help. It's just,
so fucking wild, dude.
I say this without it trying to be a joke, but the Wachowskis had some serious nuts on them to make the Speed Racer movie. emphasis on had.
I love how much they just push the envelope and everything to like the nth degree. And I'm realizing, you brought it up when we watched Cruel Intentions, but I'm realizing a running theme with me is like, I joke about how like, some days, if I just want to feel something, I put on the Batman, like, Batmobile scene, and I just, like, crank it up really loud. But It's like same thing in Speed Racer when his engine isn't like working near the end and he like reboots it somehow and he does that fucking insane drift like out of that like water park bowl thing he's in and just yeah. like peels out of there. Like that shit really does something for me. Like,
well, let me put it this way. Awesome. I was 4-star all day with this movie until the last 15 seconds where they go plaid. You know, like where the music crescendos and then like it's like the white and red peppermint. It like when he's crossing the final finish line, that last action sequence was like,
yeah,
this should not exist. And I just respect it.
Yeah. Well, and I agree. Like I feel like it ends so strong for me too, that I'm like, holy shit, this is like life changing. It's amazingly fun. And I'm like feeling what the character is feeling. Like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, it really gets to my soul, I guess, you know?
Dude, also, the Racer X twist at the end, I thought was so well done. Like, the whole movie, I was like, nah, it's like, that's going to be his brother. Like, stop dicking around and just like take the mask off or whatever. And then they really sell you on the fact that it isn't his brother. Like, they really... I thought did that in a way that had like a lot of credibility, and I was like, oh, maybe I was wrong the whole time. And then like the last 10 seconds of the movie, they're like, nope, it was his brother. And I'm like, oh shit. Like, and they did it in a way that, like, you know, it was like very Kojima Phantom Pain. Like, this guy got crazy plastic surgery to not look like his brother anymore. I'm like, okay, that's ridiculous. But it fits with like how crazy the rest of the movie is. So like, I don't know. I'm a sucker for this.
And I feel like it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Sam. If you think that was like surprising and well done, boy, do I have a bridge to sell you.
That's so good.
Well, yeah, I'm just a simple.
Sam, have you heard of multi-level marketing? Because I've got some products.
Dude, my brother was almost in a multi-level marketing thing when he was struggling to find work. Like 2 or 3, he almost ended up selling steak knives like 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh my god.
Okay, so next up we've got Transformers. Sam and Gid gave it a 4, Laura and I gave it a 3.
This is the movie that made me want to do this list. I'm dropping Transformers to a 3.
Oh, okay, nice.
This is like the opposite of how I feel. Like, you know, where I said like Speed Racer being a 5 is totally a heart pick. This is a brain pick. I feel like I can't be a smart human living in the world and give Transformers anything more than a 3.
Yeah, that's fair.
If that makes sense. I'm not saying you guys I'm not saying you're done for giving it a 4, Gideon. I'm just saying like as soon as I was done, I was like, that was awesome. And then the more that I thought about it, I was like, that might have been the dumbest movie I've ever seen in my life. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Right.
I felt like it also feels like a movie that was like co-produced by the United States government, which I think Laura enlightened us that it absolutely was.
Dude, so. It's so hoorah, it's not even funny. Bring the rain.
I mean, like most of the crowd scenes are just U.S. military members, and like, yeah, it's just them flying, you know, B-17s or whatever, just strafing the shit out of the desert.
Dude, I feel like the song from the end of the like the Marines TV commercial was gonna play at the end of this movie. Oh, and John Turturro was awesome in this movie. I mean, John Turturro is great in everything, but he was really good in this.
I love Shia LaBeouf in the movie so much.
Like, if I was in 7th grade, I'd be like, yeah, Transformers is like a 4 or 5. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's like one of those had to be there. But I didn't see it when I was in 7th grade. I totally missed this franchise.
When did you see it for the first time?
Right, with you guys.
On the podcast? Like, you hadn't seen any of it before?
No, I hadn't seen any Transformers movies before.
Holy shit, dude. That's crazy, man.
I just missed it. Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't have anything against it. I just never went. Yeah. You know, it was family movie night, and Mark Strajek was never like, "Well, hell, we're watching Transformers tonight," and so I just missed it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
there's plenty of stuff like that for me too. I'm sure.
I've never seen Shawshank or Schindler's List, or there's a bunch of weird ones that I haven't seen.
Those are pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, I bet.
Shawshank is pretty good.
Pretty good. I think it's one of the most highly rated movies ever.
This is like when Grace had never seen The Godfather, so I made her watch The Godfather. We got done with it. She's like, that was pretty good. I was like, yeah, Grace, it was pretty good. It's just The Godfather. It's just the perfect movie.
I still need to watch that one.
Speaking of perfect movies, as far as Sam's concerned, we've got Marie Antoinette. Sam's got a 5. You'd give it a 4. Laura gave it a 5. And I gave it a 2. So, you know, I'm just the resident hater here, I guess.
Yeah, you're drinking the haterade, dude.
You're a critical thinker, Neil.
Actually, Neil, this goes back to the original reason I wanted to do this episode is because I had given Transformers a 4, which made me give the following week I gave Marie Antoinette a 5 because I couldn't conceive of giving it the same or lower than Transformers. so I wanted to score Transformers lower so that essentially I could put Marie Antoinette at a 4. So if you want to change that one for me. If that makes sense. That was like the whole reason I wanted to do it.
Yeah, I mean I think two things that keep getting overshadowed. Number one is like 3 doesn't make it a bad movie, right?
Right.
Right.
Like,
of course.
3 is an average. Like, you know, right. it does what it's set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think movies can like be very different and still get the same score.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Like Speed Racer and Last Temptation of Christ are both 5s for me, but they're obviously very different. And Marty Scorsese would probably punch me in the face for saying that.
I hope we get to see that someday. All right. So next up, we're going to have my first score change. I'm going to bump Godzilla 1954 up to a 4.
Nice. Hell yeah.
All right.
I'm locking in the 5.
I think that's respectable.
I love me some Godzilla. I've been really enjoying getting into Godzilla in the past couple of years.
You said you're going to go see Shin Godzilla in theaters, right?
Yeah. Me and Alyssa are going to see it tomorrow.
Nice, at the
local theater. Very excited. Going to go do that. We've seen it once before on streaming. That was fun. But yeah, it'll be dope just seeing it in theaters. Because I think, I don't know exactly, but I think there's a new 4K restoration and that's why it's coming back to theaters.
Right.
So maybe it'll get like a Criterion or like Toho is going to do another release or some shit. But we'll find out soon. I'll be able to.
So they have a gig on Friday, but it looks like Saturday at 6. They're showing it at my Alamo Draft House. So maybe I'll take my motorcycle over and just...
There you go.
Just do that. That would be it'd be a nice little ride over to Woodbury to get sit in the cold theater for a while, eat some chicken, eat some tendies.
Yeah.
My local have you guys heard that Alamo Draft Houses are so Sony owns Alamo Draft House now?
I just learned about
They are doing a whole run of samurai movies that influenced the new Ghost of Tsushima game, Ghost of Yote.
Oh, yeah.
So they're showing 13 Assassins this weekend as well.
Go.
It's at 11 in the morning. I don't want to fucking see 13 Assassins.
What are you talking about? Look, dude. Okay, like 13 Assassins. Same director as The Interview.
Audition.
The Audition. Look. You know, maybe you could talk about it having like themes about, you know, power corrupts and, you know, ignore all that. It is just one of the best like action movies ever made. You will not regret going to this movie at 11. Sam, have an early tendy lunch. Watch these guys just like running around, just blood spraying everywhere, people exploding. Dude, it's. It was on my list, but like there isn't anything to discuss about that movie. It's just pure visual, just like glory.
Okay.
Like we wouldn't have a good time discussing it, but it is 100% worth watching.
It turns out
Are you talking about the 1963 or 2010 one?
No, it's 2010. It looks newer than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Takeshi Miike.
Okay.
So apparently if I go to this, I can get a special edition Ghost of Tsushima popcorn bucket.
Dude.
So that's pretty cool. I just put it in the chat. It looks pretty awesome. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay.
It has like a guitar strap on the popcorn bucket. Maybe I could like take that off there and fashion it into like a bass strap or something. All right, Neil. I might have to do this since like Grace is gonna be gone all weekend. I might as well get out of the house, do something.
How far is the theater?
Woodbury. Well, if we take the interstate from here, it's like a suburb. It's like a wealthy suburb of St. Paul. So it would probably be like 30 minutes if I took the interstate. But I could probably get over there in like 45 to an hour if I took my bike, right? Because take it off the highway and things like that. But it wouldn't be too bad. Right. And like, you know, if Grace is gone, it's like, you know, who the fuck cares? I'm just gonna go for a nice bike ride and see a samurai movie at the end of it. I mean, there's worse ways to spend a Saturday than that.
Mm-hmm. Samurai Saturday, dude.
The last time I did that, I took my bike out to see Princess Mononoke, and it was the same weekend as the Minecraft movie was blowing up, and the theater was just rotten with kids.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I'll take one solo ticket for the anime movie. Dubbed, please.
How many people were in there? Was there
experience? It wasn't packed, but it was probably 20, 30 people in there.
That's pretty good turnout, honestly.
I know this is off subject. I still maintain I do not think Princess Mononoke is all that, and there's like 5 Ghibli movies that I like more than it.
Yeah, I like it a lot, but I need to see a lot more of them, so
yeah,
I get it.
Okay. Anyway, what are we talking about? Godzilla?
Yeah, Godzilla.
We're moving on to, unless you want to change the score.
No. I liked it, but no, I'm good with keeping Godzilla to 3.
That's fair.
So, okay, any changes for Crocodile Dundee?
Definitely a 3 for me now. It's just fun.
It's just a great movie.
I know sometimes I talk about sometimes like comedy or lines or dialogue or things not aging well, but that is definitely part of the fun, in my opinion, of revisiting stuff from the past. And this movie is super fun. And that kangaroo scene where he's using the kangaroo corpse to fucking blast the poachers, that was awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, no movie with that gimmick in it is anything less than a 3. I'm sorry.
And yeah, very cozy. It's like a nice travel adventure movie.
I don't feel the need to change anything for Last Temptation of Christ. Any thoughts from you guys there?
I will give it a 3 as well.
That a boy.
I definitely am going to revisit it at some point.
I was 4 all the way across the board with this movie. Like a 3 or a 4 all the way across the board until the last 20, 30 minutes where like they really bring home the title and they reveal that like it's all been an illusion. Like, mm-hmm. Set up by the devil for the last 30 minutes. I thought that was so brilliant.
Sam, again, this is not a twist. It's in the name.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I realized what they were doing before like the apostles showed up and everything. Like I realized it sooner than like when they revealed it, but I don't know. Sometimes the twist is more than just the twist. Sometimes it's like, oh, in the delivery of this twist, they're also like making good on the entire premise of the movie, right? Because like what I was surprised at, people are like, oh, this movie is so awesome, and then largely for I would say 70% of it was just, you know, a lot of the New Testament story, right? It was like, you know, it was like the greatest hits, right? We do the water into wine, we do the wedding, we do the Lazarus, we do all the miracles, the loaves and the fishes, right? Like and I remember him getting to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and thinking to myself, like, are we just doing this? Are we just doing the passion and then that's it? And then when it became more than that, I thought is like, it surprised me with how deep and how much of a different take on the passion it was than what I'd ever seen before, you know, if that makes sense. And I was really impressed with that. And it brought home the message of the passion for me in a way that it had never really hit me before. And granted, I haven't seen the Mel Gibson movie, but, you know, I don't know. It was just as a young Catholic boy who once went to, you know, Wednesday night school. And I can count the number of times I missed Saturday Mass, probably on two hands, between the ages of 1 and 18, right? So, I don't know. It was just a very personally affecting movie. I totally stand by my 5.
Nice. Very nice, dude.
I think next we got Death of Stalin.
Yep. I'm actually going to bump my score for this one up to a 5. I just keep coming back to it. I just love it.
Honestly, I feel
a very Neil coded movie.
I think
it's a movie that was just kind of made for me.
I think it is my favorite surprise of the year. For like new unexpected things I've never heard about, and just going in blind. I really, really liked it. I thought it was super fun. I thought it was hilarious. I love the cast. I liked how it was shot. It was super enjoyable.
To me, what kills me about this movie is the interpretation of historical figures. Like, I don't remember the name of the Arrested Development guy's character, but like his portrayal of that character is very funny. And Steve Buscemi playing Nikita Khrushchev as essentially like an East Coast mobster type is a stroke of brilliance. I would bump this up to a 4 for me. Nice. I thought, especially like after watching it with Grace, I liked it a lot more.
Yeah, and well, with Steve Buscemi being a mobster, I haven't seen all of it, but I know, isn't he like that in Boardwalk Empire?
Yeah, right? Boardwalk Empire.
The whole deal. Nice.
All right. Next up, we've got Alita: Battle Angel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to keep it at a 2 personally.
Yeah,
that's fair.
The only reason this isn't lower for me is because I wasn't expecting anything from this movie.
That's fair. I almost want to give it a 4. I love the, like, it's just like this weird guilty pleasure that has like really great picture quality, but it is so fucking bizarre and strange and just makes me like uncomfortable, and I'm just like always like laughing at it, and I always forget the entire plot because it's just like mind melting. It's just like, it's like a Jimmy Cameron oddity that I love. And it's just like one I go to if I'm like wanting to pick me up or something. It's just kind of cozy, and just how weird it is, and like, because isn't him and the guy who did Spy Kids, I think they like work together, so it's just like, I don't know. It's this weird, bizarro cyberpunk. It feels like we have Ghost in the Shell at home, but it was made by them.
Yeah.
Big time. And it is just like, it almost feels like a Disney Channel movie, but then it's like extremely violent and like weirdly like sexual and with things. And it's just like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah, but so I'll like continue to just go back to it over and over, but I'll leave it at 3 for now because it's definitely flawed.
I don't know, man. I was like, I didn't, like I said, I didn't expect anything. Like, I took one look at this movie from the box art and I was like, yeah, this is like, this is going to be a shitty version of Ghost in the Shell, or this is going to be like generic cyberpunk slop, and it ended up kind of just being like generic cyberpunk, and then it's like overly confident generic cyberpunk slop because it thinks it's going to get a sequel, and it cracks me up that it didn't.
Dude, right? I swear, like, they say it's still happening. Like, I'm gonna keep I'm gonna keep my ear to the ground with that sequel. But yeah, like, who fucking knows? He's making 5 Abbeys and whatever.
I mean, getting, do you have the same confidence that Speed Racer is going to get a sequel?
No, that will never happen. That will never, ever happen. and if it does happen, it will be done wrong. They won't be able to do it right, and it'll just, like, it'll, like, break my heart a second time, you know? But I don't think it needs a sequel.
Yeah, because Speed Racer has an ending. Like, a satisfying conclusion.
What would I want?
Like, and Alita ends with them, like, running up to the surface. Then they're like, JK, see you next movie.
Well, and like we talked about, it's like there's a fandom somewhere that likes this thing. I've never met anybody who knew what the hell this is. But like we talked about, in Split Fiction, there's like clear references to it. So it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. It has its place in pop culture somewhere. And I'm still, yeah. I will never forget the fucking, the poster, the theatrical poster. She has dog blood on her face. What the fuck? That is insane. That's the main thing I thought when I left the theater.
The only reason this isn't a one is because we see Christoph Waltz playing Bloodborne. So that was pretty cool.
So funny.
It's like giant Warhammer and his like hat and his cloak. I was like, all right, I'm kind of into this right now. And then that, the, I don't know, what's the kid's name that's opposite Alita?
The boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
Does it matter?
It's telling Gideon that you watch this movie all the time. You don't know what that guy's name is.
Well, remember I said I forget it. Like, I don't remember like anything. I'm like always surprised by it. It's like I'm like deleting every minute as soon as I'm watching it. Like, I don't remember what happens. Like,
it just,
and it's such a fucking cock tease of an ending. It's like, oh, she got her upgrade. She's going into the race, and then the fucking movie ends. It's like, fuck you, Jimmy. Fuck you, dude.
James Cameron. Xander and I were just laughing the other night about how base it was that James Cameron named the material in his movie Unobtainium.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, Hugo, whatever. He's like, whatever, I have Titanic money. I don't have to come up with a good name for this. Unobtainium. Here we go.
It's so funny, dude.
Man, I like it. Okay, we gotta do that at some point.
So speaking of Titanic money, next up we have Waterworld.
Waterworld
is a good movie. I'm fucking standing by it.
I'm not going to change my score from a 3, but like, it doesn't deserve the hate that it gets.
Completely agree.
I don't know. For it, it has its moments, but this movie is so disgusting to me in so many ways, and I feel like I'm getting like tetanus watching it. And like, obviously I'm a big fan of like practical effects and stuff, but with like certain exceptions, like I hate like gross things and slimy things, and there's like a lot of that going on, and it's so crazy to me. It's honestly legendary for this, but it's like you always hear about deleted scenes or like cut things, and it's how in the hell did they get the opening shot like greenlit of just like him pissing into a bottle and drinking it,
like immediately.
Incredible. That is how it opens. That is insane. But I don't know. Like, I would revisit it. I would give it another shot. But yeah, like, and it was just like so ridiculous with him, like the gill. Like, I liked his like weird boat with the contraptions and shit, but I don't know. I just like didn't connect with hardly like the world or like the design or like the characters or the acting, like not a lot that really like grabbed me, I guess.
You know, this would have been a really good film and 40s movie in like the Searly House. Like Dennis Hopper, it's kind of shitty. There's, you know, a lot of cool action scenes. I don't know. I think what I took away from this mostly was that like I had always heard that Waterworld was like legendarily a bad movie, and I think what I learned here is that that was conflated with it being a box office bomb. But it's not as bad as it is not There's as bad as its worse, budget. Maybe. Yeah, would suggest. I mean, it lost a lot more money. Than most movies, but it's not worse than most movies. It's just like, okay.
I do like the finale on the big boat. And shout out to that scene, another scene where I felt like I was getting tetanus, but when they're all like rowing with those big metal rusty oars and the fucking giant metal like oil tanker ship, I'm like, would that even work? I don't think they could do that.
But I liked how Dennis Hopper was like running a society on a economy of cigarettes. Yeah.
That was the highlight too.
Dennis Hopper is the highlight of every movie he's in. Change my mind. What do we got next? Oh God, Cruel Intentions. We're like right in the middle of Shit City right now with this list.
Yeah. I think I might drop that down to a one for me.
Damn.
My rationale is, I literally don't remember anything about this movie. my brain was just like, what are things that we need memories of? Cruel Intentions? Nope.
Delete.
Yeah, but we've already established that Gideon does that every time he watches Alita, and he gave that a 4 or a 3.
Gideon has different rules than me, and that's just the way things are.
That's the way it goes. On a good day, I could give it a 4. I love it. I love it. It like scratches that itch of the like late 90s, early 2000s stuff, that like Y2K era that I just like love digging into, because like these are like a lot of movies I just like totally missed or just like never would have been able to watch or anything. So it's just like always like it like transfixes me, I guess. And yeah, it has the car with the music scene. That shit always gets me. Mm-hmm. It's just so ridiculous and just like a huge guilty pleasure movie. I just like love the cast. I love how it's shot. The whole plot is so fucking like ridiculous and absurd and could never be made again like this.
You know what it kind of makes me think of is, you know how like there's like 5 movies that came out in 1999 that were all about like, oh, I'm a privileged American working a white collar job and I'm really bored, so I'm doing this crazy thing to escape how bored I am. Like my life is too perfect, so I'm gonna like fuck it up. Like, so The Matrix, American Beauty, Fight Club, Falling Down isn't 99, but it was like 1983 or something like that. There's like a few other movies from around that time that are like that. Office Space is from like right around then.
I love Office Space.
And people always say that like movies got really dark after 9/11. Like after that happened, like that's like when Saw and torture porn movies came out. Cruel Intentions is like the last vestige of an America that didn't have any like real problems. You know what I mean? Right. Like it's just it's like rich kids and their non issues.
Yeah.
And I can kind of appreciate it on that level, that it's like a less serious movie from a less serious time. I kind of appreciate that about it. That's all.
I'm going to go back. I can change a couple. I will give Waterworld 1, because I feel like I had such a visceral negative reaction.
What's worse than Gideon giving Waterworld 1 or me giving Speed Racer a 5?
Giving Waterworld 1 to me, like, I like one to me is just like offensively bad. And like correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like Gideon's like major hate on it was that like the people look like they're wearing gross clothing and like everything's dirty. I'm like, you give the fucking Furiosa 4 or 5. It's the same goddamn thing.
but it, that stuff's badass though. Like they are gross, but like they have more like character to them, where like everybody in Waterworld is so hideous, like absolutely slimy and gross with like piss stained clothes and like condom fucking gloves or some shit. Like,
I, okay, look at the freaking villains from a Fury Road. Like Morton Joe's got like polyps all over his body.
Yep.
The people eater has like an elephant foot.
Yeah.
The bullet they farmer are... has bullets for teeth that he pulls out. Like it's interesting and it's like realistic to, you know, like what it would be like when he mm-hmm. can't make fiber anymore. I don't get it. I don't understand your brain. I get
what you mean. I guess it's more like there's so much more badass stuff that's still going on where I can like forgive, like almost like with some to a degree, like with Star Trek, like a lot of why I never really went for Star Trek is I always thought the aliens were so fucking ugly. Like a lot of them, not all of them. But I've seen a couple episodes here and there, and like obviously there's like really good stories and characters and different things like that and concepts. But yeah, like with Waterworld, it's just like even those characters you mentioned in Mad Max, like they're all the guy who's like with the elephant foot and he's always like rubbing his nipples and stuff. He's still like he's got that interesting role of like helping run like Morton Joe's empire. And then Morton Joe like has the badass vehicles and like he is really disgusting, but he's also like a disgusting Darth Vader in that, you know, like universe where I guess the closest would be Dennis Hopper, right? But he's got like fish hooks and random just like I don't know. I'm just not vibing with like the whole like art design, I guess, like really takes me out where there's so many things I like with the art design in Mad Max. Where like, yeah, that the gross characters don't take me out as much, but I totally agree. There's so many like absolutely vile and disgusting people and scenes in the Mad Max series. Yeah.
I would agree that Mad Max has a riz to it that the Waterworld simply doesn't, but I also understand Neil's like confusion, but whatever, it's your score.
And I'll give Last Temptation of Christ a 2, actually. I'll go back to 2.
Gideon woke up today and chose violence against murder.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm trying to be like true to how my experience was, I guess. Mm. And I'm like, I was, you know, fairly bored with Last Temptation for a lot of it. And like I appreciate certain things about it, but I just really didn't connect for me.
Yeah.
For the most part. And well, and like I mentioned, like it didn't offend me and like not because I'm, you know, not religious or like whatever or other things like that, but
yeah,
it just didn't do much for me, I guess.
Well, you know, I like this isn't my quote. This is from Pauline Kael. She like wrote the book on film criticism, but she said that a man walks into a movie theater and a critic's job is to admit that he is that man. So in other words, like whatever your reaction to the movie is, that's your reaction to the movie, even if it's unfashionable. Mm. And I respect that. Right. So someday we'll do the Annie Hall episode and I will get a lot of shit for how much I like that movie and you guys can all make fun of me and that's just going to have to be how it is. So I will take my lumps when they come.
Well, I've seen it, but it's been like 15 years and I remember liking it. So I get it. No worries.
Yeah. I'm still just going to say the moment I changed my rating on Cruel Intentions, Gideon went back and changed. So.
Retaliatory.
On a good day, Waterworld is a 2. For me.
A good day.
Okay, so meanwhile, Tomorrowland, I'm going to keep it at a 2 just because of the laugh that I got when little girl just like starts running down the fucking freeway after a truck. But
yeah,
that's the difference between it and Cruel Intentions. I remember that part. I don't remember much else. I remember just like so much like wasted potential.
Oh my god, yeah. I think I remember, or I don't know if we talked about it, but Isn't there a scene where she's talking about there's like two wolves inside you? They're like having that conversation. Uh-huh. And I was like, that was like, I was like, this is some real cinema right now. They're actually doing the wolf thing like in this movie right now. Like that just like blew my mind that that was even happening. Cinema in a joking way, obviously. Like I was just, couldn't believe it.
This was probably my most disappointing movie of the year because I love Brad Bird so much. And mm-hmm. I knew what the premise of this movie was. Or like it was like Ayn Rand for kids. And I was so into the premise. And then it just, like, I don't think Disaster fits any other movie on this list better than it does Tomorrowland. Like what happened during the development of this thing? Like the script is horrible. The characters are bad. Clendog doesn't show up till halfway through the movie. Is it supposed to be violent? Is it supposed to be funny? Is it supposed to be, it's like Disney, but it's like we said, I think it might be the most violent movie with the Disney name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And just basically a disaster in almost every way. For me, like where it really takes that turn is when they go into the science fiction like retro store, and then it's like Keegan-Michael Keel is there, and they're like trying to shoot this girl with like these like giant deadly lasers. They're like dematerializing innocent police officers and things. It's like just horrible, horrible stuff. So I'm comfortable with this being my one of here.
I kind of want to give it a one now, too.
Yeah, bring it down to a one.
Let's do it.
Fuck you it. Know you want to do it. Yes.
And you know what? Change Alita to a two. Because it gets worse every time I watch it. And I've seen it like four times, guys.
I can't imagine having watched that movie. Because of the podcast, I've seen it twice now. And I can't imagine having gone back for a third.
I'm going to go back for maybe fourth or fifth. Maybe I'm going to keep coming back for sure.
All right. So that just leaves us with Jaws and Lawrence of Arabia, which have identical scores of Sam at 4, Git at 5, me at 4.
This is what happens when you introduce pure Kino into the podcast. Yeah.
Into the mix. Chemical X.
I think Gid exclusively gives fives to movies he has 4K steelbooks of.
Yeah, basically. Changed my life.
I'm totally comfortable giving Jaws. It's recent enough that I feel like I don't have to like couch this one and like reformulate my opinion. I like it. It's like there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that, you know, fives have to be like kind of like a more special kind of thing. And there are moments of this movie that are transcendent, but it doesn't stay at that height all the time for me. And I do think that like there are some masterful performances, like the old sailor and Richard Dreyfuss particularly, I think, is like really excellent in this movie. So I'm still comfortable at a 4, though.
Okay.
I don't feel like it needs to change anything.
Okay. I just think it's so, you know, so iconic. It still feels fresh to me to this day, like, or very engaging, I should say, even what, it's 50 years old now. I think it's like one of the best horror movies I've ever seen. It has like crazy mass appeal, and it's just like so well made and acted, and it looks beautiful. And I haven't seen it as many times as a lot of other people have. I think I've only seen it like 2 times, maybe 3 at most. But some people watch this like, you know, nonstop all the time. But it's kind of a perfect movie, in some ways, yeah.
Well, that concludes our list for the year so far, which just leaves us with Gideon to make our nomination for next week.
What about Lawrence of Arabia?
I don't have any changes for either Jaws or Lawrence.
Just making sure. Yeah, I'm also good with the 4 for Lawrence.
Honestly, Lawrence could be a 4 or 5. Like when I first finished it, it was a 4. But like I mentioned, you know, doing more research and just like listening to special features and stuff about it, watching that, made me appreciate it more. And I'm seeing it all over the place in like other movies now, and I'm like seeing its influence, which is cool. Which makes me like it more. But it's like, am I gonna be in the mood to watch this like all the time, or I don't know. It is like one of the most epic of that era that I've ever seen, and there are things I like about it a lot, but not like brace yourself. You gotta like prepare to watch this thing, because so you gotta really be like, okay, I'm setting the whole day aside because I'm doing this. So I don't know. I don't fucking know, because it's like some of my scores, I don't really know what to do. Like they're like, I don't know how to balance it with like, I could rate basically everything like a 4 because I'm having a good time, but yeah.
I feel almost like a douchebag giving Lawrence a 4. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's
who
weird.
Am I
it's like,
to give Lawrence of Arabia a 4?
And my scores don't really matter. You know, I mean, you guys see, you know, what movies I'm eating up. So, I don't know. I will give it a 4 for my experience of watching it the first time.
Yeah, enjoyed myself. What wasn't like, I think I said a lot of this on the podcast when we talked about Lawrence. It was very like, if I saw this in 1962 or whenever it came out, I would have been like, oh, this is a 6. You know, this is the 5 of all 5s. This is the greatest movie I've ever seen in my life, just because of the cinema scope and the epicness of it and the sound and the score. But like, I think it's lost a little bit of that over time. Like the obviously like the technical. It just isn't as blow away as it once would have been.
That's fair.
Well, boys, any final thoughts? Or Gideon, do you want to talk about what you want to bring to the show next week?
Yeah. So I was racking my brain trying to think of just, you know, another Criterion movie that wasn't too long that I haven't seen, that I don't think you guys have seen. So I wanted to do Cure from 1997. I think I talked about it briefly before. Gives huge Memories of Murder vibes. It just looks like a crime thriller. So I heard it's pretty good.
Just so I'm clear, Cure like Sam Savert Band?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, but it's Japanese.
That's right. All right. So. But yeah, it's an hour 51 minutes. 1997 director Kiyoshi Kurosawa. I don't think he's related to Akira Kurosawa.
We're all related, duh, Gideon.
Of course, we're all one big family here.
That's right.
The whole world.
You're not going to believe this. I just clicked on his Wikipedia profile, and it says early life and education. He is not related to filmmaker Akira Kurosawa. What do you mean they're not related? That's ridiculous. They're related at some point. It's just so funny that it explicitly says I'm here. He is not really.
He probably gets asked that all the time.
Yeah, he probably wrote that himself on the Wikipedia. Honestly, stop asking me.
God damn.
All right, guys. I'll see you guys next week.
Yep, take care, guys.
Later, boys.
All right, see ya.